On Morning Focus last February, we spoke about a 26% increase in reports of domestic violence to Gardaí and Clare over the past 2 years. That led to calls for more supports and funding for services that offer valuable emergency assistance to the victims of domestic violence and their families. According to Safe Ireland, domestic abuse and coercive control is a persistent and deliberate pattern of behaviour by an abuser over a prolonged period of time designed to achieve obedience and create fear. It may include coercion, threats, stalking, intimidation, isolation, degradation and control. It may also include physical and or sexual violence. We're now going to hear an interview I did earlier with Julia, who is a victim of domestic abuse and wants to share her story. We have given Julia a different name in order to protect her identity. Julia, thank you very much, first of all, for coming into studio to speak to us, because I know this can't be an easy story to tell.
It's not easy, but it has to be. Seriously, everyone should know things like that.
Can you tell us how it all started?
Everything started like in every other story. Everything was fine on the very start. And I had like, I had things in my head, oh, that's finally the man that will be good for me. So many promises for a future that we will have brilliant life together. Like, he's lovely man and everyone can say that about him. And after a few months, it started from little small arguments about basic daily things like, oh, you didn't clean up dishes or didn't do this or that. And after that, the alcohol came as well, pubs, things like that. And it was just from one slap, you know, in my arm, for example, then kick in the bed in my leg. Then it was like worse and worse, but the bruises were just under my clothes, so nobody did see it.
And do you think that was intentional?
Obviously, yes, definitely it was. He didn't mean it. Like, he, after that, he said, sorry, but it's obviously your fault because you were talking back bad things to me. Even I didn't start at anything, you know. It was his first words to me that I'm lazy or I'm not good enough. So that's how it's starting. You are just not good enough for someone that is not really better than you even.
And when you're being blamed by him, is there a part of you that thinks he's right, I must be to blame, I must have, even though he assaulted me, or, you know, I've done something to warrant this, or were you fairly certain this is all on him, but I just can't say anything because I'm afraid of what else he'll do to me?
Oh, I'm not that kind of person, you know. I'm brave one. And he didn't like it, I think. That was why he was getting angry more and more. So once I said, hey, listen, it's something wrong with you, not with me. Then he was like, I know, it's you because you are roaring, you are loud, and I hate it. So I was just, you know, trying to defend myself with my words. So that's why he maybe, like he said, he's Irish man and I don't understand Irish way. So that was kind of my fault because I'm not Irish, but I told him I know so many lovely Irish girls that they wouldn't let anyone to do something like he's doing to me.
Yeah. When it started, Julia, I mean, as you say, the abuse, the physical abuse started maybe on a slightly small scale and got worse. When it began, were you a bit surprised? Did you kind of in your head brush it off and think, oh, that's surprising, but maybe he didn't mean it, and only kind of became aware of how seriously wrong it was as it got worse? Or were you kind of, you knew that from the very start that this is not the way things are supposed to be?
Everything started to be worse when we did move to his house, because then he did know I have no other place to go. So that's why he was kind of bossy one, You know, I couldn't just leave him and go to my family because I didn't have anyone here. I didn't want to ask my friends, hey, listen, do you have a free room? Because I have children, so I wasn't, you know, I didn't want to beg anyone because I'm not I'm not just like that. I just want to sort everything in my way. But then he was using this against me.
Yeah. But when you spoke with your friends, I mean, were they aware that anything was going on? As you say, he wasn't hitting you in the face, so as you know, your injuries or bruises were concealed. But were your friends able to tell that? You know, were you able to carry on as normal, or were they aware there was something going on?
I'm very happy person. Usually, I never show my feelings when I'm upset or something. When I'm working, I just put down my head and then I'm thinking about it. But I never did talk with anyone about it, only with my mom after a time. And she got seriously angry. But she also did understand that I'm an adult person. She can't just take me out from here and do whatever she wants because my life is here in Ireland. So my friends didn't really know about anything. The people like me are hiding.
Did you really, really want to tell them, but you were hiding because you felt that was the best course of action? Or?
I just didn't want anyone to be involved in it. That was the thing. I didn't want anyone to feel sorry for me because I thought I'm just strong enough to, you know, do it myself, just to help myself without anyone.
As things got worse, did that part of your mindset change? Were you more tempted to tell people what was going wrong as things got worse?
You know, I never thought to just go to someone, hey, listen, something like that happens. But after last time, I couldn't show my face or my body to anyone because I couldn't even leave the house to go for a shopping. No makeup would cover it. Nothing. So they are not stupid, my friends, as well. They said, hey, listen, they text me. Hey, listen, we know why you're not going out or don't do anything. We know it's something wrong with him, not with you. So if you want, just tell us anything and we will help you as much as we can.
And when they were saying that to you, was at that point, did you confide in them what was the extent of what was going on? Or
I told them everything. You know, I just thought, all right, it's no point to hide anything anymore. Because people are not stupid. They will find out anytime. And I'm glad that they actually gave me a hint and they were there for me. Even they didn't want to be really involved, like they didn't want to disturb my own privacy or something like that. But at least I have someone there to talk with about it. I don't have to keep it in sight anymore. And even I was talking with my mom about it. My mom is so, so far away from here. So they are here for me anytime if I will ring them, text them, or if I will want just to go to them. They will actually come here to me and they will bring me to them house if I need, or just for a chat or a coffee or something.
But at that point where you finally confided in your friends, Julia, how long had you been putting up with this abuse?
That's for years.
Years. How did you deal with that for so long? How were you able to withstand that for so long?
It's just, I think that I'm one of the strong ones, but not everyone is that strong like me. And after so many bad words, I had that things in my head. Hey, listen, maybe you shouldn't be here. Maybe you should do something to yourself. Maybe then everyone will be happy and you will be relieved. But like I said, I have kids. I can't do it because I have them. And I wouldn't let anyone to mind them, you know, instead me, because I'm the mom and they need me more than anyone else. And I'm the good one for them. So that's why, that's what we, people like me, have in the minds. But then you're thinking, hey, you have to do something not only for yourself. You can't be selfish.
Yeah, but I do, like, with children involved as well, how difficult did that make things, in the sense that no doubt you were so frightened at the level of abuse, but you must have been really concerned for the safety of your children as well.
Thank God that I was only one abused in this house, but I know how it works on the little minds and mentally issues that they can have in the future.
Yeah.
And like, I saw so many programs, documentaries about it, that everything what we do and our children see it, it's working on them brains and what they will do in the future with them life as well. So I did know it's something wrong and they shouldn't see it, but obviously, I didn't want to make that step that, all right, but you will be homeless now with them. That was the worst thing in my mind. I don't want to be homeless and take my kids, I don't know where, and I don't know for how long, because I'm not able to pay a rent, you know, and I'm not able, I don't know, to ask my friends to stay in them house forever, actually, because council won't do anything for me if I would find a place in my friend's house, because they won't. That's what they do. They are thinking, all right, she's sorted out for some time. Let's just give it up. Someone else is waiting there.
You had put up with years of abuse. Children involved as well, although, as you say, thankfully they weren't abused, but maybe you're worried about how they're affected psychologically. Once you confided in your friends, was that the point at which you decided, I have to leave? And how frequent had the abuse become by that stage? Was it happening every day?
Almost. After that serious bruises on my face that I couldn't move from the house, he did stop it because he was scared that someone will find out that is his fault. I was lying about it, that something else did happen, you know, to my friends and other people. But after that, he did start mentally abusing. So he thought that he will be covered, that, all right, she has no sign on her body, but then let's wreck her head instead. And that was actually, I think sometimes it's worse even, you know, when someone is trying to get to your head and just wreck your soul into pieces.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just anyone who is in my situation should just think about their own life. And you don't have to show anyone that, listen, I'm brave, I'm strong. Because it will become to that moment that you won't be strong for a few minutes and you will do something to yourself, or abuser will do something to you, because it's not only women that are in that problem, the guys are as well.
It clearly, as bad as things got, it was a difficult decision to leave, but you did leave. What did you do then?
Like, the best way, it's ring guards and guard station, and they will help you as much as they can, and they do very, very good job. They will support you as much as they can. They will help you with transport, even with kids, even with your backs, everything. And they have so many contacts that they will give you, and they will try to help you with any social workers, anything like that. So I think anyone who feels fear, don't feel ashamed to ring guards, because they are for this. They are there to help you. So just do it if you feel that you are in the fear.
Julia, what does the future hold for you? What will you do now? Are you working? Are you looking for work to support yourself and your children? Are you still looking for somewhere to live? Are you talking to anybody or seeking professional help to help you deal with, as you say, the physical and also mental abuse that you suffered?
Like, for now, I can't really work because I'm not in, like, I'm in the safe place, but it's not the normal house that I can, you know, just leave and go to my work and find a crèche or school or something for my kids. So for now, I'm just minding my own kids. But once I will have a chance to find someone to mind my kids and they will be able to go to school or to crèche, then I can start my work again, because I was told that, listen, we are still here for you. People in work, my supervisors, they know about it. So they gave me a hand. They said, listen, if you need a few months or even a year off, just do it. We will be waiting here for you. And that's what I am very appreciated about, that I know I have something to come back when I will sort out something for myself, like a place to live. But it's so, so hard to find any place, like house, apartment, anything. I can live in the shed, but I have kids. I can't do it for them. They need something safety. They need something clean. And something that we can call a house, home. But so hard with housing all around, in whole Ireland, actually. So people like me must find something. If not, they will have to come back to abuser, which is the worst thing, because next time someone like me can end up in hospital or on cemetery instead.
And if you can't, I mean, you've got, it sounds like you have a great support network between your friends and your work colleagues, but if you can't find somewhere to live, is that something you would countenance, going back to an abusive relationship?
Like, for now, I don't think about it at all, because I am strong. But I know after time it can change, you know. It's like some girls are in that situation when abuser is telling them, listen, I want you to come back. I will be better. I will be good man for you and for kids. It's not a truth. Don't trust them, because they will never change. Once they are like that, they will stay like that. Maybe after some therapy with the specialist, maybe some of the abusers needs medications, because it's not normal that you beat someone and you think it's all right. So for me, it's like, I don't want to come back, but I'm worried if I will have to stay where I am now for longer than, for example, a month or two, I will break down. And I might think about it, you know, it's the house, it's something kind of my kids will call the home. Maybe not me, but maybe them, you know. And then, seriously, something bad, serious bad can happen.
You would, as awful as that was for you, if it meant a roof over your children's head, you would go through it again? Or risk going through it again?
Yeah, sometimes. The last time when I was, like, it was the same relationship. Only a few years ago, I was in the same place where I am now. But then I wasn't that strong like I am now. And then I thought, all right, listen, your children will have daddy again. It doesn't matter what you will have. So I didn't think about myself.
What would you say to any women listening to Morning Focus and hearing your story, and perhaps they hear similarities or echoes of their own story, and but maybe they haven't reached the point you have where the, you know, you left the abusive relationship. What would you say to them, Julia?
I just wish you to be strong and brave enough to leave, because like I said, nothing will change and you have to change your own life for your own goodness and your children if you have any, and nothing will be worse than that. You will find some safe place. It's few in the country good places that you can go yourself or with your children. But it's just a few long steps in your life that you have to do to have way better future for years and years. And that time what you are on now, it's just a little short piece of your life, and that's it. And after that will be better. So for your own better life, just change it now, because once you will stay in it, it will be just worse and worse, and it's not worth, because every human being deserves for something to call like good life and happiness, even it sounds so, you know, funny. Not everyone is happy every day, but everyone deserves to try to be happy even.
Julia, we appreciate you coming in to tell us your story, because it can't be easy to be go back over all of this, what's been an awful time for you. We hope the future is a bright one for you and your children, and hopefully you will get a place you can all call home. And thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you to Julia for sharing what must have been a very difficult story to tell, but hopefully it can help some of you out there who are listening. And if, like Julia, you are or have been a victim of domestic abuse, you can contact Clarehaven Services on 065 68 22 435. That's 065 68 22 435, or you can call the Women's Aid National Free Phone Helpline on 1800 3.